And our reading today is from Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 32. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Well, do keep that passage open. Let me tell you about Kirk Cameron. Kirk Cameron was an actor in an American sitcom called Growing Pains. He became a big star in his teens. For most of his young life, Kirk says that he was an atheist. He assumed that he was the center of the universe. There was no one greater than himself. And then, age 17 or 18, Kirk looked at his life and he looked at his wealth and his fame, and he asked himself, is this it? And he asked himself, what happens when I die? Well, to cut a long story short, Kirk began exploring the Christian faith. He was invited to church by a friend, and the preacher, who was John MacArthur, preached on the reality of hell and how we can be saved from hell for heaven through faith in Jesus. Kirk says, and you can watch his testimony online, Kirk says he realized he was a sinner. He had quite a clean-cut image, but he realized his heart was full of sin. There were areas of sin in his life which was secret, only he knew about. He realized that unless he was forgiven by God, cleaned up by God, he was going to hell when he died. The Ephesian Christians to whom this letter was written had been through a similar experience. God had saved them from hell, from sin, from death, for himself, for relationship with himself, for heaven. And now, the Apostle Paul is saying to them, live out what you are. Live out what you are. You are Christians. You've been cleaned up. Now live out what you are. Live as Christians. You remember, Paul has taught them in this letter that God has a plan to save the church. He's brought them from spiritual death to life. He's created one new humanity out of the old division between Jew and Gentile. And now he says to them, live out what you are. So we've got two headings on your notice sheet. Remember you're a Christian and live like a Christian. Firstly then, remember you're a Christian, verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Paul insists on this. We must no longer live as non-Christians. Gentiles stands for non-Christians here. I know this is very difficult. I went into a school recently and took assembly. I threw the discussion open for questions and I was ridiculed quite severely. I was told I was stupid. One boy said, "You believe in Jesus because you've read about him in a book. I've read about Spider-Man in a comic, but I don't call him God." Actually, it was a silly argument. There's no comparison between the Bible and a comic. But the room was really hostile. Many were laughing at me, quite uproariously. So easy then, isn't it, under pressure, to forget that we are Christians and just to fit in, just to live as the Gentiles do, as non-Christians do. And Paul says, I insist on it that you do not do this. Remember, you are a Christian. Verse 18, they, non-Christians, are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. That's why someone can liken the worship of Jesus to the worship of Spider-Man. It's because people are darkened in their understanding. They don't understand. They are separated from the life of God. Only God can give understanding. Only he can draw people to himself. So I don't panic when I'm in a school hall which is ridiculing me, because I know God will be working in some of them. They may be quiet, but God will be working in them, just as he worked in us to open our minds, didn't he? And bring us to himself. He will soften their hard hearts. This is what he graciously did for Kirk Cameron. And this is what he graciously did for me. Verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. That is a frightening verse. See, when you are young, you have a sensitivity about sin. All children are naughty, but if you suggest to young children that they do something bad, very often they'll be very shocked. They have a sensitivity about it. And through the teenage years, this sensitivity sometimes decreases. So you end up with 18-year-olds who will binge drink, take drugs, and sleep around. There are other ways we lose our sensitivity. Say you decide to be dishonest in work. When you first do it, you will feel sensitive. When you've done it hundreds of times, you've lost your sensitivity. Perhaps you realize you've lost your sensitivity to sin. And when this happens, we give ourselves over to sin. We indulge our sin with a continual lust for more. Kirk Cameron says he needed God to rescue him. I would say I needed God to rescue me. But remember, you are a Christian. Verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. No, you were put on a different way. Verse 21. Surely you heard of him. In other words, someone told you about him. And you were taught in him, in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Someone introduced you to Jesus, and then, probably in church, you were taught to follow Christ. Verse 22. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm sure you can relate to this. Just imagine you're invited to a wedding, but the wedding is in the afternoon. And so in the morning, you decide to do some decorating. So you put on your oldest clothes. They're already covered in paint. You've used them before for decorating. And from 9 till 1, you paint your house. The paint is everywhere, in your hair, on your face, on your hands, all over your clothes. You look a mess, a real mess. And the wedding starts at 2:30. So, at 1 o'clock, you take off your old clothes, you go in the shower, you wash all over, you come out, you put on your best suit, a clean shirt, a clean tie, smart shoes. You look fantastic. What a transformation. Silly illustration. But in the same way, you are a Christian. You have been taught now to take off your old clothes. Not your physical clothes, your spiritual clothes, the clothes of lying, cheating, selfishness. You were taught, remember, to take off those clothes because your old self is being corrupted by sinful desires. Remember, you are a Christian. You have been made new now. You've got new clothes on. The attitude of your mind is being made new. We ought not to fantasize sinfully now. Our mind is being made new. And we must put on our new clothes, like the clean suit. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Don't you want that? I want to be like God. I want true righteousness and holiness. Remember the hymn we sing, "Take away the love of sinning. I long to be set free from the love of sinning, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Remember, you're a Christian. And secondly, live like a Christian. Verse 25. "Therefore, each of us must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. So take off the clothes of lying and put on the new clothes of telling the truth." The French essayist Michel de Montaigne said, "Lying is indeed an accursed vice. We are men, and we have relations with one another only by speech. If we recognized the horror and gravity of an untruth, we should more justifiably punish it with fire more than any other crime." Poor old Chris Hume and Vicky Price discovered even small lies can cause big problems. We must not lie. Verse 25, "For we are all members of one body." The church is to be a place of truth. Then verse 26, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. It is possible to be angry, say, with injustice, and not to sin. But normally, if I get angry, it's for selfish reasons. It's because someone has annoyed me." Well, in our anger, we must not sin. We must remember that God is slow to anger with us, isn't he? He doesn't blow his top. And so I must be slow to anger with others. The 18th century British physician, John Hunter, who was a pioneer in the field of surgery and served as a surgeon to King George III, well, he suffered from angina. And he discovered that his angina was brought on by anger. He said, "My life is at the mercy of any scoundrel who chooses to put me in a passion." And those words prove prophetic. After a meeting of the board of St. George's Hospital in London, Hunter got into an argument, became very angry, and he dropped dead. So anger can be fatal. It's also very bad for marriages. Verse 26, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." This is a general truth for all people, but it is especially true in marriage. Sort things out. Ideally, just forgive. If your spouse has made you angry, just forgive them. Don't bother having a row about it. But if you really can't just let it go, have a conversation well before bedtime. Don't have a row before sleep time. That's very damaging. The point here is, don't let things fester. Because, more importantly, verse 27, "Do not give the devil a foothold. If you're harbouring anger in your heart, you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. Now, do you want the devil to have a place in your life? I don't. Remember you are a Christian and live as a Christian. Verse 28. He who's been stealing must steal no longer, but work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Christians must not be thieves, and Christians must not be scroungers. Very few of us would rob a house, but are we honest in our tax returns? Are we honest with our expenses? Are we honest? And do we take responsibility? Verse 28. He who's been stealing must steal no longer, but work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Every one of us should aim to contribute to the church and to society, and not to be a net taker. Now, some people are unwell. They are unable to work. It's right that society looks after the vulnerable. But the New Testament is very clear we are to be workers. It's also true we have a problem with unemployment in this country. This is a tragedy for everyone concerned. Many people would like to work, but cannot. The Bible does not condemn them. The problem we have is we're asking God to bless us with a prosperous economy when we're choosing to ignore God, when we've rebelled against him as a society. I've been unemployed once in my life. It was an awful experience. If you are unemployed, my heart goes out to you. But here, Paul is addressing the dishonest scrounger. Then he says, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Whenever we speak, we should ask ourselves, is it true? Is what I am saying here true? Is it necessary? Is it loving? Is it kind? Will it build others up? Or will it break others down? Is it wholesome? Winston Churchill, during his last year in office, attended an official ceremony. Several rows behind him, two men began whispering, "That's Winston Churchill. They say he's getting senile. They say he should step down and let younger men run the country." When the ceremony was over, Churchill turned to the men and said, "Gentlemen, they also say he's getting deaf." I wonder when we've made the mistake of letting unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. We've all done it, haven't we? And verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We are sealed, marked by the Holy Spirit. We are marked as belonging to God. And therefore, we must not grieve the Holy Spirit. In The Voyage of the Dawn Treader by C.S. Lewis, Eustace becomes a dragon. I don't know if you've read that bit. He's so utterly self-centered, he eventually becomes encased in scales. That's kind of what happens to us every time we grieve the Spirit. We become a little bit harder, a little bit tougher, a little bit more scaly. In order to become a boy again, Eustace must undergo a tremendous amount of pain as the dragon skin is peeled away and torn from him. Only after a really painful process does Aslan turn him back into being a boy. And that's kind of how it is when we grieve the Holy Spirit. Sin becomes so much part of us, like our scales, that God has to rip and tear the scales of sin off us. See, the thing is not to grieve the Holy Spirit in the first place. Stay soft. Stay sensitive. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. If the Holy Spirit doesn't like it, get rid of it. Instead, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. God is so gracious to this sinner. How can I harbor anger towards other sinners? I must forgive, just as God has forgiven me. Remember, you are a Christian. And live as a Christian.